Penguin Random House Audio presents The Delight of Being Ordinary, A Road Trip with the Pope and the Dalai Lama, by Roland Marullo. Read for you by P.J. Oakland. Let us ask ourselves today, are we open to God's surprises? Pope Francis. It is my belief, for the world in general, that compassion is more important than religion. The Dalai Lama. God made so many different kinds of people. Why would he allow only one way to serve him? Martin Buber. The gods, too, are fond of a joke. Aristotle. Author's note. I am inclined to put my trust in spiritual figures who show a sense of humor, rather than those who take everything, including themselves, with a miserable seriousness. Life can be harsh, yes. The struggle to live a meaningful life, however we define that, can be rich with problems and challenges. But humor exists to soften the sharp edges of things. And so Pope Francis and the Dalai Lama, both of whom laugh a lot, seem to me like wise teachers, extraordinary men in the difficult position of guiding billions of followers, of steering vessels with a heavy cargo of good and bad history in the same general direction across the rough seas of modern life. It was in a spirit of respect and gratitude that I made them the central characters in this odd parable. They are human, and in order to make the story work, I felt I had to show them as people, not figureheads. In doing so, I made use of various interviews, articles, and biographies. While trying to stay close to actual Christian and Buddhist doctrines, I have taken a few small liberties. For instance, I don't know that Pope Francis is actually afraid of heights, or that the Dalai Lama is actually afraid of water. My hope is that the listener accepts these fictional details in the spirit in which they were intended. Respectful, well-meaning, provocative in the best sense, beribboned with strips of humor and the big life-and-death questions that are central to the lives of those men, and that have fascinated me since I was old enough to write a complete sentence. Day 1. Chapter 1. My name is Paolo de Padova, son of an Italian mother and an American infantryman father. And thanks to a peculiar combination of loyalty and luck, I served for a time as first assistant to my beloved cousin, His Holiness the Pope of Rome. My tenure didn't last long. In fact, my duties came to an end as a direct result of the story I'm about to tell here. A story the Pope himself asked me to make public when I felt the time was right. Parts of it will be familiar from headlines in the international news, but, as you might expect, those parts were sensationalized, tarnished by rumor, stained with misinformation. The heart of it, the essence, the real, full story, remains known only to a handful of people, myself included. I share it now in a spirit of reverence and compassion, but also in service to the truth. As my cousin liked to say, "Anche I papi sono uomini," which might be translated as, "Popes are people too." Chapter 2. My odd story begins, oddly enough, with a Buddhist. Or at least, with the visit of a famous Buddhist to the most sacred halls of Roman Catholicism. It's common, of course, for a pope to receive visiting heads of state, presidents, prime ministers, first secretaries. Catholics have a great deal of clout in the world's voting booths, and politicians, even the least religious politicians, like to make a papal pilgrimage. They sit for a photo op with the pontiff, pretend to exchange ideas, make promises they never intend to keep, then fly back to their luxurious lives and seats of power. Popes, in my experience, handle these visits with an admirable patience. Disappointed again and again, they nevertheless always seem to hope that the leaders of the world will actually behave in ways that reduce the chance of war and give comfort to their poor. In the case of the Dalai Lama's visit, however, the Holy Father had good reason for optimism. Here was a man whose responsibilities were similar to his own, and whose devotion to his faith and his people was beyond question. It was the second year of our joint tenure, the Pope's and mine, and probably the 300th official visit. I was used to the frenzied preparations, security precautions, press conferences, interviews. But when I went to see the Pope that morning, I could sense almost immediately that the Dalai Lama's visit would not be typical. My cousin liked to rise at 4, spend 3 hours in prayer, and then take a light morning meal. On Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays when he was in Rome, Giorgio, as my parents and I had always called him, asked that I have breakfast with him in his relatively humble accommodations, a 3-room suite at the Domus Sancta Marta Hotel in Vatican City. 7 a.m. sharp. This wasn't easy for me. At 7 in the morning, I'm not yet at my best. Not that my best is very good at any hour, but out of devotion to the famous man, and in deference to his inhumanly busy schedule, I always showed up on time. In order to reach the papal chambers, even with my top-secret Vatican credentials, I had to run a gauntlet of security officials and various secretaries. After doing so on that morning, I went at last along a familiar, carpeted corridor and tapped on a set of wooden doors twice my height.
"Entra, cugino!"
the Pope always yelled joyfully. "Come in, cousin." That day it was no different. The velour curtains hanging from the windows of his dining area had been pulled aside, and even at that early hour, a golden sunlight poured through the glass. The Pope was dressed casually in dark pants and a white T-shirt, a medal of the Blessed Mother looped on a thin chain around his neck. As was his custom and preference, he was barefoot. He liked to say it linked him, however subtly, with the poor of this world. The sunlight fell on one side of his face, catching a smile so sincere and sparkling it would have caused the most devoted atheist to convert. He gave me the warmest of embraces. Another minute, and we were sitting opposite each other at a small marble-topped table. An aide brought a typical breakfast: pear slices, pots of herbal tea, 2 pieces of Belgian chocolate the size of bottle caps. The Pope is famous for his sweet tooth. We prayed over the food and began to eat. But knowing him so well, I could see a rising tide of trouble, a splash of anxiety on the skin of his face. "What's wrong, Your Holiness?"
"Oh, stop it," he said in his fake gruff voice. "For the 1,000th time, Paolo, please and kindly call me Giorgio or Pope, anything but Your Holiness. I'm not worthy of that title, and it's like a wall between me and the cousin I love."
"Impossible, Your Holiness," I said. "I'm a simple man. If I start calling you Giorgio in private, I'll slip someday and say it in public."
"Si, e poi?"
"Yes, and then?" "And then my enemies will attack me, and attack you for hiring me."
"Yes, and then?"
"Your judgment will come into question, and I'll be out on the street." It was all a joke, a comic routine.
"You keep me sane, cousin," the Pope liked to say. "Joke with me, make me laugh. Remind me that I am, in fact, a human being, not a figurehead."
"Something's bothering you, Pope," I said. He smirked, looked sideways, chewed meditatively on a slice of pear.
"I can no more hide my thoughts from you than I can hide my sins from God."
"What is it?"
"How's Rosa?"
"Beautiful, intelligent, stubborn, rich, impossible to live with. Which is why I no longer live with her. In short..."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?